Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman, remember by Avram Goldai, and here Masechus Ksubas, Daf Lamed Vav, the third parak, Eilon Aros. The Zichud Masechus Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for HaChazachas HaTorah. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one, the Gemara contrasts a braisa that taught, a chareshes v'ashot v'ailonis, yeshan knas, yeshan tanis pesulim. A deaf mute woman, a shota, and an ailonis have a right to the knas for being violated and can have a tanis pesulim claim brought against them. With another braisa that taught, a chareshes v'ashot v'abogeres v'mukos eitz, ain't lahen tanis pesulim. A deaf mute, a shota, bogeres, and a mukos eitz cannot have a claim of tanis pesulim brought against them. Rav Sheshes answered that it's not a kasha. The tana of the braisa that says that a tanis pesulim cannot be brought as Rama Gamliel. Rashi explains that just as Rama Gamliel believes a woman who said that she was violated after receiving her kedushin so that she doesn't lose her ksuba, so too here, in the case of the chareshes and the shota, she doesn't lose her ksuba, for we would say that if she had been mentally competent, she would claim that she was violated after kedushin. The braisa says that they can have a claim brought against him as Rabbi Yeshua. When the Gemara asks if one actually heard that this was Rama Gamliel's position, when the woman herself doesn't make the claim, it answers that it's based on the principle Psach Picha Ha'ilim. Open your mouth on behalf of the mute, which means one should speak up on behalf of those who cannot do so for themselves. Pointing to a state in a braisa, Sumcha says in the name of Rabbi Meir, Suma ein la tanis pesulim, a blind woman cannot have brought against her a tanis pesulim. When the Gemara seeks Sumcha's reason, it answers, Mifnei shenechbetes al gabi karka, because a blind girl is likely to fall and strike the ground, which would cause her to lose her dam pesulim. Therefore, lacking pesulim is likely from her injury and not from having premarital relations. When the Gemara counters that all girls can fall and strike the ground, it answers, Kula rose mars le'iman, all other girls, if they fall and see that they're bleeding, show their mothers. Zo ena roa ve'ena mara le'ima. This blind girl doesn't see that she's bleeding and doesn't show her mother. Rashi explains that with regular girls, their mothers will tell them that they have lost their pesulim, and if they do not inform their chassans, that they can have a tanis pesulim brought against them. And point with me, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakham and says, Shvuya shenifteis hari hi b'kdushasa afa pisha gadoa. A captive woman who was ransomed is still in her state of purity, even if she is old, meaning older than three, and she does not lose her right to receiving a kanas. Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yehuda said the same thing as Rabbi Dosa, for it was taught in a braisa. The Rabbi Dosa holds, Shvuya ocheles betruma, a former captive woman who is a bas kohen, is permitted to eat truma. Rashi explains that we do not presume that she was violated by her captives, which would render her a zona and prohibit her from eating truma. Rabbi Dosa explains that the captive's mere improper touching of the captive doesn't make her possible from eating truma. Rabbi said that perhaps they do not agree. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda holds that she's still eligible to receive the knas, shoyeh hechoteniskar, only so that the sinner, the one who violated her, should not benefit. But with regard to eating truma, he holds like the rabbanan that she's disqualified. And perhaps Rabbi Dosa is lenient, since truma nowadays is a rabbanan. But regarding the knas, which is a deraisa, he would agree with the rabbanan that she's not entitled to receive it. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara contrasts a braisa that taught, hachareshes v'ashot v'ailonis, yeshan knas v'yeshan tanis besuim. A deaf-mute woman, a shota, and an ailonis have a right to the knas for being violated and can have a tanis pesulim claim brought against them with another braisa that taught, a chareshes v'ashota v'abogeres v'mukos eitz ain't lahen tanis pesulim. A deaf-mute, a shota, a bogeres, and a mukos eitz cannot have a claim of tanis pesulim brought against them. Rav Sheshes answered that it's not a kasha. The tana of the braisa that says that a tanis pesulim cannot be brought is Rama Gamliel. Rashi explains that just as Rama Gamliel believes a woman who said that she was violated after receiving her kedushin so that she doesn't lose her ksuba, so too here, in the case of the chareshes and the shota, she doesn't lose her ksuba, for we would say that if she had been mentally competent, she would claim that she was violated after kedushin. The braisa says that they can have a claim brought against him as Rabbi Yeshua. When the Gemara asks if one actually heard that this was Rama Gamliel's position, when the woman herself doesn't make the claim, it answers that it's based on the principle Psach Picha Ha'ilim. Open your mouth on behalf of the mute, which means one should speak up on behalf of those who cannot do so for themselves. Pointing to a state in a braisa, Sumcha says in the name of Rabbi Meir, Suma ein la tanis pesulim, a blind woman cannot have brought against her a tanis pesulim. When the Gemara seeks Sumcha's reason, it answers, Mifnei shenechbetes al gabi karka, because a blind girl is likely to fall and strike the ground, which would cause her to lose her dam pesulim. Therefore, lacking pesulim is likely from her injury and not from having premarital relations. When the Gemara counters that all girls can fall and strike the ground, it answers, Kula rose mars le'iman, all other girls, if they fall and see that they're bleeding, show their mothers. Zo ena roa ve'ena mara le'ima. This blind girl doesn't see that she's bleeding and doesn't show her mother. Rashi explains that with regular girls, their mothers will tell them that they have lost a pesulim, and if they do not inform their chassans, that they can have a tanis pesulim brought against them. And point with me, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama and says, Shvuya sheniftes hari hi b'kdushasa afa pisha gadoa. A captive woman who was ransomed is still in her state of purity, even if she is old, meaning older than 3, and she does not lose her right to receiving a kanas. Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yehuda said the same thing as Rabbi Dosa, for it was taught in a brisa. The Rabbi Dosa holds, Shvuya Ocheles Petruma, a former captive woman who is a Bas Kohen, is permitted to eat Truma. Rashi explains that we do not presume that she was violated by her captives, which would render her a zona and prohibit her from eating Truma. Rabbi Dosa explains that the captive's mere improper touching of the captive doesn't make her possible from eating Truma. Rabbi said that perhaps they do not agree. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda holds that she's still eligible to receive the kenas, sholyeh hechotaniskar, only so that the sinner, the one who violated her, should not benefit. But with regard to eating truma, he holds like the rabbanan that she's disqualified. And perhaps Rabbi Dosa is lenient, since truma nowadays is a rabbanan. But regarding the kenas, which is a deraisa, he would agree with the rabbanan that she's not entitled to receive it. All right, so now we got our simon daf lamed vav, and our standard simon is a lulav. A lulav, so here goes. The Choresh is holding a lulav with a sign on it that said, please speak up on my behalf regarding a tanis basulim. Didn't hear the crash when the blind girl using a lulav as a cane fell down and struck the ground after tripping over a freed captive woman who was sitting eating truma while counting her kanas. Once again, in slow motion. The Choresh is holding a lulav, That must mean one daf lamed vav. The Choresh is holding a lulav with a sign on it that said, please speak up on my behalf regarding a tanis basulim, which reminds us, the Gemara explains, that the Tana of a Braisa that taught that a Choresh and a Shota cannot have a claim of tanis basulim brought against them is from Gamliel, for just as he believes a woman who said that she was violated after receiving her kedushin so that she doesn't lose her ksuba, so too here in the case of the Choresh and the Shota, she doesn't lose her ksuba, for we would say that if she had been mentally competent, she would claim that she was violated after kedushin. When the Gemara asks if one actually heard that this was Rabbi Gamliel's position, when the woman herself does not make the claim, it answers that it's based on the principle of psach picha le'ilim, open your mouth on behalf of the mute, which means one should speak up on behalf of those who cannot do so for themselves. So the Choresh is holding a lulav with a sign on it that said, please speak up on my behalf regarding a tanis basulim. Didn't hear the crash when the blind girl using a lulav as a cane fell down and struck the ground, which reminds us, it was stated in a brisa. Sumcha says, in the name of Rabbi Meir, sume ein la tanis basulim, a blind woman cannot have brought against her a tanis basulim because a blind girl is likely to fall and strike the ground, which would cause her to lose her dam basulim. Since she doesn't see that she's bleeding, she doesn't show her mother. So the Choresh is holding a lulav with a sign on it that said, please speak up on my behalf regarding a tanis basulim. Didn't hear the crash when the blind girl using a lulav as a cane fell down and struck the ground after tripping over a freed captive woman who was sitting eating truma while counting her kanas. Which reminds, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a shvuya who is ransomed is still in her state of purity, even if she's old, meaning older than 3, and she doesn't lose her right to receiving a kanas, is not necessarily saying the same thing as Rabbi Dosa, who holds shvuya ocheles betruma, a former captive woman who's a bas kohen, is permitted to eat truma. They might have different reasons for being lenient. So once again, the Choresh is holding a lulav with a sign on it that said, please speak up on my behalf regarding a tanis basulim. Didn't hear the crash when the blind girl using a lulav as a cane fell down and struck the ground after tripping over a freed captive woman who was sitting eating truma while counting her kanas. All right, now it's time for a four blah bah chazara. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in the lab. So here goes. The mad scientist in the lab. Mad scientist in the lab? That must be more in Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist in the lab designing a kanas-o-matic that would automatically give a kanas to a na'ara sister, but not to one who was a shota bogeres, which reminds us, the Gemara contrasts the Mishnah Daf Chaf Tes Amud Aleph that stated that if one violated a woman who was an issacharis, such as a sister, she's entitled to the fine, with the Mishnah Makos that states, Elohen Elokin, these are the ones who receive Malkus for violating an issar, and list one who has relations with an issacharis, such as a sister. And it has been established for us that one does not receive malchus and pay money for the same crime. Ula answered, there's no difficulty. Our mission is dealing with Achoso Na'ara, his sister, who is a Na'ara, where the kanas for violation applies. And the mission of Malkus is dealing with Achoso Bagaris, his sister, who is a Bagaris, where kanas does not apply. So the mad scientist in the lab designing a knas-o-matic that would automatically give a knas to a Nara sister, but not to one who was a Shoto Bogeres, built in an Ein-Tachas-Ein camera to ensure one paid the fine and didn't get lashes, which reminds us, the Gemara infers from Rule's answer that he holds that wherever one is high both a monetary payment and lashes, that the person pays and is not lashed. The Gemara seeks to identify Rule's source and concludes, it's learned from the Gezer Shava of Tachas-Tachas. It's written with regard to the violator, she shall become his wife, Tachas Asherina, in place of his violating her, and it's written with regard to one who strikes and wounds another, Ein Tachas Ein, an eye in place of an eye. Just as there, in the case of one who wounds another, he pays money and does not receive malchus, even if he was warned not to strike the victim, so to every place where there's both a chiyuv of money and lashes, such as in the case where one violates his sister, the person pays and is not lashed. So the mad scientist in the lab designing a knas-o-matic that would automatically give a knas to a Nara sister, but not to one who was a Shoto Bogeres, built in an Ein Tachas-Ein camera to ensure one paid the fine and didn't get lashes, because the last one he made accidentally gave 40 lashes instead, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan holds that wherever there's a chiyuv for both money and malchus, and he's warned about malchus, he receives malchus and does not pay. The pasuk regarding malchus states that the person receives lashes kedei rishaso in accordance with his wickedness, from which we can learn mishum risha achas at mechayev but biyat mechayev mishum shtei rishios. You may punish him for one act of rishos, but you cannot punish him for two acts of rishos, referring to penalties for both money and lashes. And the next pasuk states arba'im yakenu, 40 lashes he shall strike him. Rashi explains that we learn from here that where there are two penalties, he's lashed and does not make a monetary payment. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Simur Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate. Peg leg pirate? That must have been Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg leg pirate who was agitated because he couldn't give Asra to the Adim Zomimim, which reminds us, Belezer says Adim Zomim pay money and do not receive malchus, Mishum Dura B'nei Hasran, because they're not subject to receiving warning before they commit their transgression. Rashi explains, we do not subject someone to a physical punishment if they have not been warned. Rava clarifies why they can't give Asra to them a day or an hour before they testify, or right before they testify, or right after they testify. So the peg-leg pirate who was agitated because he couldn't give Asra to the Adim Zomimim became livid when they laughed off his lashes warning because it was less severe than death, which reminds us, when Rav Shisha Braid Rav Edi brings a source that a chovah b'chavera, one who wounds another pays money and does not receive malchus, he mentions the rule, musra l'davar ha-chamur having musra l'davar ha-kal. One who's warned for a severe matter is considered warned for a lighter matter. For example, if someone was warned that striking and killing someone would result in the death penalty, he's considered warned that striking and wounding his opponent would subject him to lashes. So the peg-leg pirate who was agitated because he couldn't give Hasra to the Eim Zomimim became livid when they laughed off his lashes warning because it was less severe than death. And then one ran off and stole his pirate sheep and had his friend shecht it on Shabbos. Which reminds us what Mer says, that one who steals an ox or sheep and shecht it on Shabbos pays four or five times, even though he also gets the death penalty. The Gemara explains that the Brice is dealing with the case of Botaveach al Yedei Acher. It was shechted through another person. Rava clarifies that even though we hold Ein Shaliach Devar Avera, there's no Shaliach for a transgression. In this case, the Torah states, Utvachu Macharo, and shechs it or sells it. Just as the thief is chayv when he brings about the sale by involving another person, referring to a buyer, so too he is chayv when the shechting is through another person. Daf Lamed Dalet, so the Simur Daf Lamed Dalet is a ladder. So here goes. The person who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos was placing the dish forbidden to all on top of a ladder. A ladder? That must be more Daf Lamed Dalet. The person who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos was placing the dish forbidden to all on top of a ladder, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, if one cooked on Shabbos going to a mirror, if it was done b'shogeg, he may eat what he cooked, but if it was done b'mezid, he may not eat it. Rav Yudah says, b'shogeg he may eat it mozi Shabbos, b'mezid he may never eat the food, but Rashi explains, others may eat it. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, b'shogeg the food may be eaten by others after Shabbos, but not by him. B'mezid the food may never be eaten by anyone. The Gemara brings the psukim for Rabbi Yochanan Sandler's opinion. So the person who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos was placing the dish, forbidden to all, on top of a ladder, when he accidentally dropped it on the head of a thief who stole a shor niska from a shomer's house, which reminds us. The Gemara asks how Rabbi Meir could rule that a thief who steals in shechs a shor niska, an ox condemned to be stolen, could be chayiv, the four or five times payment. It's not the animal the original owner they're shechting, since the moment it's condemned, it becomes aser b'hanah. Rabbi Ann said that we're dealing here with a case in which the ox had been given to a shomer, and then it killed a person and was condemned to death while in his custody, and then the thief stole it from the shomer's house. Rabbi Meir holds that even after the verdict is reached, ha'chziru shomer l'bal of muchzor, if the shomer returns the animal to its owner, it's considered return. He also holds davar gorma l'mamun k'mamun dami, something that can cause a benefit of money is considered as money. Even though the animal is asa b'hana, it's considered, so to speak, owned by the shomer, since it causes him a benefit that he does not have to pay for damages when he returns it to the owner. Therefore, the thief has stolen the animal from the shomer and must pay four or five times to the shomer. So, the person who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos was placing the dish forbidden to all on top of a ladder, when he accidentally dropped it on the head of a thief who stole a shor niskal from a shomer's house and was shechting it himself on Shabbos, making mechayev and misa and to pay four or five times. Which reminds us, Rabbah brings an alternative explanation for how Rabbi Meir holds that a thief can be chayev four or five times the payment when the animal is shechted on Shabbos. Actually, you can say the cases where the thief shechts the animal himself and not through a shaliach. And you can still say that Rabbi Meir generally holds that one can get malkas and pay for the same transgression, but he does not hold he can be chayev misa and payment at the same time. But this case is different. The chiddush is shechidsha the Torah b'knas, for it's a chiddush the Torah was mechadish with a knas, afagav the mikdo misham, that even though he's executed, he still pays the fine. Daf Lamed Hey, so the simmer Daf Lamed Hey is a children's choir singing la, la, la. So here goes. The children's choir director, children's choir, that must be more on Daf Lamed Hey, la, la, la. The children's choir director who inadvertently struck a man and a cow with his baton. Which reminds us, it was taught to Bryce in the base midrash of Chizkiah. The Torah makes a comparison between the psukim Makkah Adam and Makkah Behema. One who strikes a man who is executed and does not pay damages, and one who strikes an animal who always pays damages. From here we learn that just as one who strikes an animal, you do not distinguish whether he did it b'shogeg or b'mezud, or whether he had kavana to strike this animal or didn't have kavana, he's always chayv to pay. So too, when it comes to striking a man and all these distinctions just mentioned, the Torah is not coming to mechayim to pay in any of these cases, rather it's coming to exempt him from paying in all these cases. So the children's choir director, who inadvertently struck a man and a cow with his baton, just as the choir was singing the Russia Russia chorus line of their song that compared Malkus to Misa, which reminds us, when Ravin came from Eretz Israel to Babel, he reported that Reuven and Rish Lakish disagreed, b'chayvi Malkus shogeging v'davar acher, with regard to those who did a transgression b'shogeg, that when done b'mezid, is chayv Malkus, and is also chayv a monetary payment at the same time. Rish Lakish says he's pater b'feresh ribs the Torah b'chayvi Malkios k'chayvi Misus, but the Torah explicitly included those chayv from Malkus in the exemption from payment, just like those chayv the death penalty. When the Gemara asks whether the Torah includes this law, Abai said it's derived from the Gezer Shava of Russia, Russia. So the children's choir director, who inadvertently struck a man and a cow with his baton, just as the choir was singing the Russia, Russia chorus line of their song that compared Malkus to Misa, was shocked to see a sign on the animal that read, "You will always be chayv of payment if you strike me on a weekday," which reminds us, the Gemara explains how the Tana of the base midrash of Chizkiah, who made the comparison of Makkah Adam and Makkah Behema, presumed the case is where he struck the animal on a weekday and not on Shabbos, when one can distinguish between an act done b'shogeg and one done b'mezid. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which of the learned, a thief who steals and shechs a shor niskal could be chayav four or five times when the thief steals it from the shomer's house? That's on Daf Lamed Daled. Good. Number 2. Which definitely when Rabbi Yehuda's reason for permitting a captive woman to receive a kenas may not be the same reason as Rabbi Dosa's reason for permitting her to eat truma? That's on Daf Lamed Vav. Good. Number 3. Which definitely when that the pasuk of striking an animal is referring to striking it on a weekday? That's on Daf Lamed Hey. Good. Number 4. Which definitely when a thief that steals an ox on Shabbos and has another person shecht it pays the fine as well? That's on Daf Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 5. Which of the Rabbi Gamliel holds a Chareshes and a Shotek cannot have a claim of Tainus Basum brought against them based on the principle of Psach Picha Le'ilim, open your mouth on behalf of a mute? That's on Daf Lamed Vav. Good. Number 6. Which of the Rabbi learns from the Gezer Shaba of Russia, Russia, that the Torah explicitly included those Chayv from Malkus in the exemption from payment, just like those Chayv Misa? That's on Daf Lamed Hey. Good. Number 7. Which thing when a sister that is a Nara would receive a Kanas, but a Shota Bogeris would not receive any payments? That's on Daf Lamed Beis. Good. Number 8. Which thing when a Tainus Basulim cannot be brought against blind women, since they tend to fall and lose their Basulim? That's on Daf Lamed Vav. Good number 9. What should they learn from Maka Adam Maka Behema that Chayve Misa Shogiging Peturin? That's on Daf. Lamed Hey. Good. And number 10. Which Daf do we learn that Rabbi Yochanan Hassaner holds that if one cooks Bamezid on Shabbos, the dish is forbidden to everyone forever? That's on Daf. Lamed Dalet. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.